Bryan City Planning Commission meeting Wednesday, October 15th is now in order. We need roll call, please, starting with Mr. Greiner.
Don Greiner here.
Gloria Fleming here.
Norman Klein here.
Douglas Ward.
Ron Alonso here.
Okay, we're all present and accounted for. Donald, would you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Item number four, added agenda items. Do we have any? Gloria, did you want to discuss something about the minutes?
Would that be, this be the time, or that be the time?
She's got a plan, number 11 is a planning commissioner comment, so it doesn't come up.
Okay. Yeah, all right.
Yes?
No.
No, okay. Public comments, and by the way, in attendance today, we have ex-mayor Kay Shield, and Mrs. Donald Greiner, and City Councilor Karen Ward. If at any time you guys would like to add a comment, please feel free to jump in.
Thank you.
Okay, public comments, the three of you, if you have any. No? Okay. All right. Approval of meeting minutes from Wednesday, June 18th, 2014. Do we have any corrections, questions, additions, subtractions?
I wasn't here, so I don't know.
You had some questions about some minutes?
No. She just wants some explanations, but that's not a correction. She wasn't here, so she wasn't there right or wrong. Different than.
I now take a motion to approve the meeting minutes.
I so move.
A second.
Any further discussion? Okay, we'd like to roll call vote starting with Mr. Greiner. Hello, Don.
Yes.
Want to vote on approving the minutes?
No. Aye.
I guess I have to abstain. I don't know.
Sorry about that.
Aye. Meeting minutes are passed as presented. Mr. Adams, you're up.
Let me just say, then let him, I'll introduce him and then he'll tell you about himself. But you know, obviously, Deborah took a job with the City of Redmond, which you all knew. She's been helping us in the interim, but you know that's a little dicey just because once you've got another job, you're busy, and then she's in Redmond, and we're this way. So, Bill Adams' name had come up. I mean, I had talked back a while back, and then it came back up, and so we talked, and I went ahead and I talked to folks at the City of Bend and Deschutes County, and they all were kind of throwing his name around, not in vain all that much. So, calling him up, he came down and met. And he said he'd like to do this on a part-time basis, and he has a long history in planning in Oregon and in Central Oregon. So, with that, here he is.
Yeah. Excuse me. Thank you, Rick. It's good to be here. I've been the city planning director for City of Sisters. I've consulted for the City of Redmond. I'm the part-time planning director for Jefferson County. Previously, I was the full-time planning director for Klamath County, just south of us here. And I've been doing this for a long time and worked for the City of Gresham, City of Milwaukee. So I have a lot of city experience as well as county experience. And we moved here in 2004 from the Portland area. So we like it in Central Oregon. And Rick offered this opportunity to me, and I thought it would be a good opportunity. Lapine is a brand new city, lots of opportunities, and it's exciting to be a part of this, to see how this new plan and these new ordinances can be implemented. It's not always easy. It's kind of a rough job, as Rick and I know, just talking to somebody this afternoon about how come this wasn't done or why do I have to do this kind of a thing. So, but that's part of the city business. We've got new standards, and I know you all probably have different aspirations for the city going forward, and that's what I'm here to help help you achieve as a city planner. And so with that,
why don't you maybe tell them about your that you'll actually be here. Unlike Deb, we're doing it a little different. You got an office upstairs and all of that.
Yeah, so I'll be here most 3 out of the 4 Wednesdays of the month, and then go to the Planning Commission and City Council meetings when necessary. And of course, if there's work to be done while I'm at home or on the road or something, I can certainly do that over the phone or email or that kind of thing. So that's not a problem. Yeah, with modern technology, it's a lot easier to keep connected and respond to people and so forth. So yeah, I think it'll work out. I'm just down the highway a little ways, so it's not too far to get here. Hopefully the snow doesn't fly too much this winter.
So what we're starting out anyway is, you know, on Wednesdays afternoons, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, something like that, till 5 or 6, or if there's meetings like this. So like today you had a couple different appointments. People came in and met, and then we met with another gentleman after that. So if any of you want to come see him, that's Wednesdays a day, email and make an appointment. Or when we find people with questions and they want to know about stuff, he's here. You know, he can schedule those half hour apart. So Deborah did not keep office. She was never here, actually. It was all via email. She might come an hour too early on a planning day occasionally, but this is actually, you know, he's going to be here. He works from here, runs around, does stuff, and he has a laptop from the city and has an office upstairs, and people can sit there and visit with him. And so taking that next step up into planning, kind of more to the day-to-day stuff.
Yeah. If you need to get a hold of me, best thing to do is call Ashley, and if you can get a hold of me or get you my number, and we can go from there. So I guess without, is there any questions?
How long were you in Klamath?
I was in Klamath about 5 years.
Okay. You lived familiar, and that's probably where it was.
That's probably where, yeah. I came up here a couple of times for these groundwater pollution meetings. Mm-hmm. You know, Southern Deschutes County, Northern Klamath County have the same issue. So I've been up here a few times over the past few years for those meetings.
Have you talked to Deborah about our attitude here and the comp plan? And, you know, we're kind of different down here. We're a little independent.
Yeah.
and we're willing to fight for that because we want that small town feel. That's the general consensus. And as few rules as possible and as flexible as possible. So within reason.
Yeah, and that certainly makes a lot of sense from what I know, and that's the way I operate. There's, you know, we've got plans and ordinances that are stacked on each other, and they don't really amount to much unless you can reasonably interpret them. And I say reasonably because they are standards, but it's really difficult sometimes when you have situations that people bring you. That's just was not contemplated. Yeah. So now I've got an existing structure on a lot that isn't big enough, and you're asking me to put all these things on there. How am I going to do that? So, yeah, it's up to me to help them interpret the code and to get from where they are to where they want to go. That's, Rick and I agree with that philosophy. I mean, that's part of our job. So. Yeah, I'll try to be as fair as possible, and I'll try to be as, you know, as reasonable and as quick as possible. But understand, I'm still just a part-time person, so.
Well, the county, they'll still be handling a lot of the planning.
No planning, building.
Nothing. Oh, just the permits, though, will still have to come from the county, right? Or
yes, the building permits. They're
not going to be issued from this office, are they, or will they?
We don't issue those, although actually the county permit person's here now, they moved in. So, it is not, the planning is really, I say in most projects, we're more at the front end. Mm-hmm. And the bulk of the projects really more of the county, And then we're at the tail end to make sure that they met stuff.
Mm-hmm. Kind of. That's what I thought.
And that's what we were working on today. It was really, that one was a beginning prior to applying for permits.
Right.
And the one was wanting an occupancy permit, and the county won't issue it until we have signed off that we liked everything. So when I went out, saw some things that weren't followed from the site plan, then he went to get his occupancy permit today, in the email I got, and he was told no, the city said no, don't issue it. And of course then he got in his car, and he was from Salem, but he came right down here. And so at between 4 and 5, we were working on that and settled it, and all those requirements will be met. And so I've since then did a letter and sent to the county, and they'll issue him an occupancy permit tomorrow. Good. So it's exactly how it really should work.
Yeah, and the fellow that we met earlier was a guy from Bend who wanted to expand his personal storage unit development up in Wickia.
Right? Mm-hmm.
So, again, he's trying to develop a site plan and meet all the city standards, and the fire chief was there, and all of us, Scott, Public Works, and so we all gave him feedback about what standards he would be held to. And he said, got no problem with that. Just let me know.
Mark.
His name's not Mark.
His name is Jason.
Jason.
Yeah. Works for Arbor Builders.
And Ashley, you were there today. I mean, that was our first time we had done that. So you had commented that you kind of liked it. So
I loved it. It was wonderful.
So what we'll do now is, this is more traditional. I mean, we're taking these steps forward, but it's a stairway. We're not to the top of the steps by any means, but we did go up another step. So we sat at this table, and so what you do is you get, especially on commercial, single family home, no, but you could do it with anything that you need to, but this is so that people understand ahead of time. So he had a kind of a drawing, which we call it, it was a good drawing, but it wasn't actually, he hadn't went to the next step. So we had the fire chief, and the chief, Mike, came down, and in the future we'd have ODOT here, because this one touched the highway, depending on what you need, but we'd have the building official from the county. All of us are here, and then he says, or her, he explains, well, this is what I want to do. I want to build this on this place. And then we start talking about, so Mike and him had quite an exchange on water lines, and Scott's there, well, that's a 12-inch main. Mike says, you're probably going to need 2,000 gallons a minute. You'll have to run an 8-inch main down. And so they're having all, so he kind of gets a feel. And then we talked about landscaping and fencing and lighting and signage and everything. So then he has a good picture, can take it back to his people. Now they'll draw up plans based off the conversation. And this is all free, and it's before he applies. Now the next time he'll actually then would line up a site plan, pay his fees, but they sometimes will walk away and say, I can't afford a new water line, or whatever it is. And so it gets everybody, the idea is it's called a site plan or pre-site plan meeting. Everybody is at the table that you're going to interact with to build this, so that they have full knowledge. And builders and developers will love it. What we were doing before, they maybe would felt they'd come by here, they go to the county, then if emails would go around and one person say this, the fire chief would get it way down the line, then he'd squawk about something, and this is a more, it's normal, isn't it?
Yeah, they just want to know the game plan or the game rules so they can just proceed, and that's what it's all about. So
at our first one, we'll have one every, we're actually, we'll have them on Wednesdays probably, unless we were to move our day, but it'll be Wednesdays, and the chief wants to have them set. And even if there's no one, we'll just meet maybe, sometimes just meet to talk about things. So they're going to probably meet like on second or third Wednesday,
That's good.
Okay, then I have one real easy question for you. It's a request/question. We feel, the commission, that we haven't been getting the information about what's going on around town for a year. And we understand that most of what's been done in the past and what you're going to do in the future won't entail us anyway. We don't need to know about somebody that wants to expand his garage. But when other things come up that are larger, we would like to be informed. either by an email or direct contact or, you know, whatever. We used to all get from Deschutes County an email of everything that's happened for the month as far as planning and codes and building and all that, and that stopped 6-7 months ago for some reason. And Deborah was never able to restart it. We would just like to know what's going on in our city. Example, the Italian restaurant opened up. Nobody in this room knew it was going to open up until we went by and saw a big sign on it that said open. And that's just a trivial thing. But what I'm saying is that we would like to be better informed. And you don't have to inform us as somebody that wants to build a chicken coop. But there are things that happen around town, because we are the Planning Commission, we'd like to know about it.
Well, people ask us too.
Well, yeah.
And yeah, yeah, you're right.
We don't have any answers. Mm-hmm. So if you could consider that, I would appreciate it.
Yeah, I Commissioner Ward, good question, good point. I don't know why you haven't been kept in a loop, but you know, as far as anything that I get myself involved in, and if it relates to planning, I'll be sure to inform you guys.
Good.
And obviously, we'll be working on these things like the medical marijuana issue and other issues down the pike, and we'll be working very closely together. So yeah, I think I'll work with Rick on that.
And actually, when the county, I think, because lots of it's just building permit stuff that we may not always, but they their system, I believe, we could probably get a monthly printout that we would send, because there's people going in for, you take the restaurant, he didn't really come in here for much. It was he probably could have done more, but again, you're educating people. It's an existing building, existing business. He didn't add walls, do anything. I don't believe he ever got a building permit, so nothing triggered much. He did, I don't even know if he did a sign. Did he do a
sign? He got a sign permit and a business license.
Yeah. So, but you know, I think that anything that gets a building permit, the county has a system that will actually.
And it, for some reason, just stopped.
Yeah, I don't know.
It well, just came to a halt.
They went to a new software system, and I don't know if maybe that was.
And you know, it's just like the Homestead building down the street here. You know, people ask us all the time, what's this?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a story floating around town that somebody has made a bid offer to buy it. And that came from the real estate people on Highway 97. Do you know anything about it? Neither do I.
Well, but those kind of things, we wouldn't. That's not something that we, unless someone comes here for a permit, we don't pass around those kind of things. Because, I mean, no one's come here and talked to us. And someone may be buying it, that's actually a private transaction.
That's true.
So, you know, those kind of things. A lot. That's one thing you have to realize. Not all of it involves us. It's not, you know, stuff happens all the time. We may or may not be involved. And some of it is kind of, it's a private matter. When you're dealing with businesses sometimes, at the early meetings, they will come and do a pre-site plan meeting. They sometimes don't want that public because they're trying to decide, you know, if they're going to come to Lapine. And you have to have confidentiality or else, you know, they will go somewhere else. Facebook did not show up and sit down at a meeting in Prineville. Mark Zuckerberg show up and say, you know, we're looking at Prineville. They had a code name. You didn't even know what it was. And even the mayor didn't. And so, you know, just understand that, you know, I talked to BioGreen the other day. Well, you know, this week, I mean, I can give you some update on BioGreen, but there's some things you're talking about that he doesn't want people to know. So you have to just be careful.
What about this Mid-Oregon Credit Union that's supposed to be building a building out here? That's sort of a rumor going around, too.
Well, you know, there's an example. I mean, and once you heard it once, then I mean, we're not going to keep updating you until something happens. I mean, yeah, I mean, that you can ask and email any of those things. But again, they haven't built anything, so nothing's ever come here. I mean, I just know because they called me and said they want to start talking about, they purchased the land, and that's not rumor, and some of you are involved enough, you know that. I mean, they own the land, and so they are talking about next year building, but it'll probably be a 2015 into 2016. They are not going to start in the next 6 months. I went and met with the president of the bank and the board chair in Bend about the bank and their things and some of the design standards that we would like, even though they're not on our books yet. have a pre, and then we work with the architect. So I imagine next spring we'll start getting stuff on that. So, I mean, rumor, there's not a rumor they did buy it. They do plan on building a branch, but it could be a year or two.
They did. I was at the Mid-Oregon meeting they always have every year, and they, you know, it is scheduled, and they talked about 15 or 16 or something like that. So they've been doing other branches, and they know that's in the loop, but they wouldn't commit to any time. Oh, somebody from Lapine always asks. So
those are all good questions and things that, you know, yeah, we can always, at planning commission meetings, we can try to vet whatever we know, you know, try to rumor control.
Yeah. Well, I was sent to their office over here just last week, and the gal in there, they're very excited about it. They say it's definitely going to happen, and they can hardly wait. He said, we've got just plain office. It'll be nice when we get into our own building. So evidently, it's pretty much circulating through it, through their own employees.
Okay. So, any other questions, or would you like me to move on to our next topic, or
are we going to talk about wacky weed now?
I guess so.
That's all right. All right.
Next on the agenda, right?
Number eight.
Medical marijuana facility discussion, I believe, was the Planning Commission discussed this back at your June meeting. I'm not sure how much you had prior to that, but probably very little. I believe that Deb talked to you about the city of Ashland as perhaps a community to emulate. They have an extensive set of regulations for medical marijuana. And I believe she gave you copies of theirs as a starting point for the discussion. I don't know how much she got into the discussion with you, whether you like, dislike, or even understood all of the regulations and what it took for the city of Ashland to go through that process. It's pretty extensive. I do know that the city is open and has the ability to adopt any and all regulations that you feel are necessary for this use, or for any use for that matter. So the state does not preempt us from regulating medical marijuana, or if the vote should pass in November, recreational marijuana facilities. So with that, I don't know that we're going to get too far down the road, but I'd like to talk about the geographic limits of what can, and so I've put the zoning map up there. Let me just go up and kind of walk you through what I did. And this is what you call a low-tech approach, as opposed to the high-tech, where I have a digital map that's prepared by the GIS guy at the county. And, you know, I haven't had time to do that, but this is a start. It's a good working map. I don't know if everybody can see it. It's not really the greatest of skills. But what I did was put in the parks, the school sites, and drew the 1,000-foot radius around those. That's representative of the state's prohibition that these facilities will not be within 1,000 feet of a school or a park. And actually of each other is the other one. And then the other thing I did was drew some, you can't really see it, but it's a dashed line here along Highway 97 up here and down here to represent, well, if you wanted to have a regulation that would allow these facilities in the commercial zone, such as we're talking about here, would you just allow it along the highway? Or maybe some other collector or arterial? Maybe that makes more sense as opposed to local streets, because it's going to generate a lot of traffic, for one thing. So I know Ashland has done that, and maybe that's something we should look at, and which streets should we allow them to be located on? Would it be Highway 97? Would it be Huntington? Would it be something else up here. I don't know, but.
Well, one of you keep referring to them, and one of my things is we only have one liquor store because of the population. Mm-hmm. Why would we have any more than one?
Perhaps you might not have any.
Well, I mean, if it came to that.
Yeah.
But I can't see any logical reason why there would be, mm-hmm. when there's only one liquor store, why would that even be a possibility?
Well, and you could certainly limit it to just one by the effect of your regulations. 1,000 feet from each other, you could restrict it by any criteria so that it would be just essentially in one place.
Due to location.
Due to location, yeah.
Well, do we have the legal right to tell someone that has a license from the state of Oregon that we're only going to have three pot shops in town and he's number four, so you can't be here? And do we have the legal right to tell them where they're going to be? Do we have that authority?
Absolutely.
I mean, the city.
Absolutely.
So we can tell, we can establish how many, and we can establish where they're going to be.
Yes, we can.
Oh, good.
But, we have to be reasonable about it, mm-hmm. and it has to be transparent, and, we can't, I'm not sure that we can just totally prohibit them. If the city wants to go in that direction, then they'll have to get somebody with a higher pay grade than me to say that's legal. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure what that would be, but I do know that if the vote is affirmative, you're going to see a lot of interest, not just in Bend where they've already located a bunch of dispensaries, but down here in Lapine, Madras, Redmond, all over. So I think, a lot of cities have decided that they're going to wait until the vote, but be prepared to come in with some regulations. So that's why it's a good time now to talk about it, to say, do you want to regulate just medical marijuana facilities, or do you want to be prepared to regulate both medical marijuana and recreational facilities? Because they'll both be separately recognized and licensed at the state, is my understanding.
Will they be separate buildings? Will there be one cellar only for medical and then another cellar for anybody else?
Or my understanding, one their building? License and the regulations that the Oregon Health Agency puts on medical marijuana will be different from the ones that they put on recreational.
So there'll have to be two different locations?
I don't know about two different locations, but certainly two different owners, sales companies, that kind of thing.
Don't we got a guy in town right now that's already brokering, kind of similar to?
He is. Okay. Yes, he's telling people where to go to buy it.
I tell you, I've heard a lot more than what's going on in that business, but there's people walking out of there with marijuana, for sure.
Are they?
Yeah. But we've already looked at that. That's besides the point that I'm looking at is he's already established himself in a business. So if we decide to change how we're going to geographically have him, is he going to have to move from where he's at now, if that's not the case? Or is he already set up to just let him go ahead and start selling marijuana out of there?
Does he have a license from the state right now?
I do not know. No. The only thing I do know is that he's a broker, kind of like he shares information about where they can get marijuana and stuff. But when I'm listening to the community, that there's people already walking out of there with marijuana, edibles, all kinds of things out of that place already.
What he does is if you have a prescription for medical marijuana, you mm-hmm. can go into his building, show him license or whatever you call it.
Correct, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he will tell you where you can go to a grower and buy it. That's what he's doing.
Yeah.
See, that's one of the things that I have not heard discussed really anywhere. When you're going to open a liquor store, there's certain things you have to go through, the background checks and all these different things to make sure that, you don't have a criminal record and all that kind of stuff. I haven't heard any discussion about those kind of rules for people in the marijuana medical part or the recreational part. I mean,
well,
how are these?
I think that there's probably more than we realize, because my response to that is two-part. One is, just like you did with the comp plan, when you know you're going to have one, guess what? You work on one. Part of the trouble has been, and some of you would throw apples at me if you could, is that if you're in denial about marijuana,
yeah,
you consequently don't write the rules that are probably you need to dispense it properly. Because a lot of us, and I know some of you, you are so upset and don't like it, that then what, and that's happened statewide. I mean, the legislature, I mean, the state of Oregon runs liquor stores. I mean, you know, they control it all. It's very regulated. The legislature, in the last session, could have said, but many of you would have, I mean, you would not have voted for that legislator if you had, but they probably should have said, in my mind, we're going to have marijuana. And to me, it's evident. Now, I don't know if it's this November. I don't know if it's next November.
Right.
There will be marijuana. I would just assume once, again, if you can get past that, mm-hmm, then the legislature could have wrote the bill that we're voting on in November with pages of things. It could have said, it takes effect in 2016. We're going to establish rules, regulations of how we're going to do it. We're going to set up with the OLCC to dispense it. Maybe they would have said, like the OLCC, they will regulate how many stores there are, where they are, and everything else. But the legislature, because I talked to them about it, and they said, we know that. But the public will eat us alive because so many people don't want the marijuana, so they don't want the discussion. And so I think that does have an impact, because we've kind of danced around marijuana. So you haven't really got in and talked about it. I think we're getting there now. I think people are finally realizing that maybe we're going to have it. So I would say with this whole thing, start laying out some of the things you would like, but I would say out of, there's how many cities in Oregon, 36 counties. You know, there's going to be a whole lot of people spending a whole lot of time and money coming up with the rules and regulations. We probably don't need to be in the top five. Let's wait and see what others come up with, because you're going to find Ashland, it's a bigger, more liberal city. Let's find out what Independence, Oregon does. Let's find out what the Prineville's do. We don't need to necessarily be the guy with the baton in the front of the parade, because otherwise we may be going things, and Jeremy's working on it. He's city attorney for five cities. Each of those cities have to come up with rules, and they're all smaller, and they don't like the marijuana thing too much, but they know they got to do it. Let's see what they come up with, because what I think Bill said, I think a couple things there. One is you probably can't ban them. There's some question. The more strict it is, the more you're going to be, you know, you open yourself up. There's some question, can you limit it to one? Or what you do is you limit it to distances and things. If you say you have to be, you know, along Highway 97, to the east side of Highway 97, and you have to have 2,500 feet between. Well, in effect, if you look at that, what we would do, you would draw circles. Mm-hmm. And then you'd say, well, there could be one up in the Wickiup area, because there's no way to have two, because you can't be 2,500 feet apart. And then there may have, you take where the one you're talking about. You go out 2,500 feet or whatever, you can't have a second one downtown here. You know, it's those types of things. So then you're not saying there's one or two, you're just saying you got to be so far apart. You know, because there is some danger. That's, again, this is all that we got to think about, all this. Quit trying to think, I'm just trying to limit it. You have to set that aside.
Right.
So what if we get into there's only one? What if that's a bad apple? Because we then have, he's a crook. Maybe he's selling it out the back door. And we've limited it to one. We have no authority. Bill can't go down and say, well, I don't think you're selling pot right, and close you down. They may charge.
That would be a matter for the state.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so, you know, I think you got to be cautious of that. Jeremy has said that, you know, this is one you got to walk slow, see what others are doing. Mm. and then try to, so I think for you guys, it is, you know, you keep looking at the map and you, you know, let's see what others do. You don't want them around schools and those kind of things. And if you say that, you pretty well take out the Huntington Road area. So it kind of gets you out on 97, and that's an appropriate area. Yeah. Gordy's got the only two strip malls in town, and they're all right next to each other, you know.
Well, I kind of like the idea of being right in that, in the county building area. Maybe in back by the next to the sheriff's
station. Good spot for it.
But you can regulate signage. I think, you know, not what it says, but, you know, you could say, you know, that when you, I think that's one of the things they've talked, some of the cities say the sign can't be more than, you know, 3 feet by 3 feet. No flashing lights, no whatever, you know.
Yeah, you can regulate the time, manner, and place of medical marijuana.
Do you want it closed on Sundays?
And we don't.
Those things you
we don't regulate, let's say, any other retail. Let's say a drugstore or a pharmacy store. We don't regulate their hours. But the state's given us the ability, basically, they said you can regulate the time, manner, and place. So a lot of communities have said, you've got to close between the hours of, I don't know, 9 o'clock and 7 o'clock in the morning, or 9 to 9, or something like that. So that's certainly one option as well.
One medical marijuana facility in Washington that I was reading about the other day, they have a building, but they have two sides. One services medical marijuana patients, and the other side is whoever wants to buy it.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to be kept completely separate, but it's in the same building.
I think that's probably how we'll end up, right, don't you think?
Yeah, I don't know. They'll have regulations, I know that. The state will, on the recreational. Yeah.
Well, he's got it all set up and he's running up in Washington, so we may be looking at the same thing if it comes along. So are we going to approve something like that or not?
So the thing I have is, the marijuana is coming this way no matter what. We're going to have to get on the wagon or not. What I don't want to see is these days now, 18-year-old kids are getting their marijuana cards. Is have them walk into a marijuana dispensary and get 2 pounds and then be able to go out on the streets and sell it. If we can regulate that kind of stuff, that's what I'm looking for.
But you're not going to be able to regulate that. The state. Yeah,
that's an interesting question. Can we see the state under medical marijuana? You can have a bunch. It's unbelievable how much you can have. I think the recreational one's actually a smaller number. I think the legislature is going to maybe rein in the quantity.
That would be
on medical because it's so high. So again, they're going to meet starting in January, and we'll see where. But.
But that at that level, that's where they'll regulate that.
Yeah, and that would be good. So that's kind of what my concerns are.
Enforcing laws are going to put on.
See, on the recreational ballot measure, I haven't read it, so I mean, I don't know the specifics. It probably tells you how much they can have and some of that stuff.
Does that go into effect like 30? I don't remember.
Yeah.
It goes into effect 30 days after or something?
I would hope not, but again, since the legislature
didn't want
to deal with it, so yeah. I would say it's longer than that. There's a system, it says in there, goes OLCC.
Let me ask, does the city require a business license?
Yes. For it?
Okay, then if they open it up, they have to apply for a business
license.
That's
correct.
Okay. And that's another way to get out of it.
Yeah, but the attorneys are saying that if you try to ban it with a business license, you'll probably get it.
Oh, I understand.
So we're not going to ban it with that.
No.
But we'll know they're doing it.
Well, yeah.
Also, the legislature came out, Deborah sent us all a letter or an email that they are eliminating edible products, pretty much.
Mm-hmm. You mean in medical marijuana?
Brownies
and that sort of stuff.
All that stuff, yeah. Well, everybody here is an adult. One person's not quite there yet. You're in the club anyway. And we all have our own particular feelings about this marijuana. So my opinion is that we put down some rules as to where they can be, how many they can be, and when they can operate. I am confident that the state is going to regulate everything else. They're going to regulate how much you can buy at one time. They're going to do all the background checks. They're going to issue all the licenses. We need to make sure that if we're going to have one or two or three or four or whatever, that we put them somewhere here that is non-conflicting with schools, children, parks, skateboarders, whatever. That still isn't going to stop the young people from getting it. They're getting alcohol now, they're going to get this just as easy as the other stuff. And the rest of it, the state of Oregon is going to have to figure it out. So,
well, I think maybe you guys, Rich, what if we let Bill over the next month or two, working with Jeremy and them, and as they start to, these things mature, we'll know what the vote is in November, start to come back with some of these circles. We were talking about, maybe you start with a blank map and you say we want to be, I think the law is 1,000 feet from the school. So let's first draw circles. You got Roslyn. Let's just go and you have the circles. So you know, okay, we know those are off limits. And you kind of start to, that's what some of the other cities are doing, is you say, okay, now let's do this. And you get it there so you can look at where it all overlaps and kind of how it could work.
Can we put a circle around my business too?
The other thing is too, it's the places where the kids hang out, you know, like McDonald's.
Well, but I mean, I don't think you're going to be able to get down that path.
But there's certain areas where the kids congregate, you know.
There's a lot of litigation on that already.
You're not going to get
too specific on representations.
No. Well, you said go ahead.
It's going to be here in larger quantities. It's here now.
Sure.
You know, for the kids, I hate to say it, but it is.
Sure. Yeah.
This may be an opportunity for the city to say, as I said, put it out in the open a little bit more so it could be controlled a little bit more. Therefore, limiting the places, times, what the three things we can do. Just, as you say, start drawing the circle, see what's left.
Yeah.
And say, okay, we're going to have two. And I also agree with this, what Gloria said. I think Lapine's two is big enough.
I mean, well, I was assuming the volume won't support. Bend has eight, but they got 80,000 people.
Right, they go to Bend, so they'll probably get more competitive in Bend.
Probably have one or two. I think the market would cure that.
Yeah.
But the only reason it's selling then is because you've got a lot of people here that smoke pot.
Yeah.
That's right. I mean, and it isn't really your job to
say yay or nay.
You know, I mean, there's a whole lot of drugs going out of these drug stores every day. So
they use drugs too.
They are.
Live it over the counter.
They are. And a lot of them are pain drugs and pills. And a lot of people like the marijuana because it's pretty effective for severe pain or, you know, cancer and that kind of thing. So.
Well, the advantage of having it on a busy street too, like a 90s, is that people would see other people going in and out and stuff. It's very visible.
Cops, easier so, for the cops.
Easier for the cops.
That's the point, major point right there.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm very open-minded about it. Yeah. My mother uses medical marijuana lotion for her arthritis.
Yeah.
And if I told her she couldn't use it, she'd be really mad at me. So I'm very open-minded about it, but what I definitely want to do is be able to have it very visible, regulate time and days that they're able to do it, and of course how much is coming out of there, which is not going to be in our hands, is where I would like to see it at. Because it's just out there. There's nothing we can do about it but get on board and be able to regulate what we want in our city with it. So,
and I think a good plan for this planning commission, as Rick said, we're in a position we can wait. We can afford to wait and see.
That's right.
And see what let some of the other people do the groundwork and spend the money and go through the litigation stuff. But in the meantime, Bill can start drawing those circles and say, hey, come back to us and say, okay, here's the places we can put them.
Maybe you should set a kind of a goal as a timeline. Maybe you should have, you should reach some agreements, you know, in January or something. We have to have it done by May, and which has to go to the council probably too. So you just, I would say that, you know, you really need to approve it in March or April so it can work its way through. So while this, you know, we really almost we're at to October. So you got a couple months, I guess, to come up with some things but then I'd say in January you need to be voting on it so it goes to the council in February.
I'd say December.
Yeah.
We ought to continue the discussion with the Planning Commission in January, get really serious about it, because we've got to have public hearings.
And maybe get some draft ones to them and say, because it's sometimes it's easier to go from something that you can say, hey, you know, I don't want 8 p.m., I want 6 p.m. closings. You know that. Sometimes it's harder when you have nothing. So.
Well, the other thing, too, is that we'll know next month.
That's correct.
Sure. Yes.
You know, after the election, we'll have more of what's going to...
You'll know if it's just going to continue as medical.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, Bill, can you provide us with some kind of a map that you're going to work up showing, you know, where we can't have them, schools, churches, so forth and so on, to our meeting in November so we can... So in November, we'll know what we're going to have to do.
Yeah, I could do that either for the November or December meeting. Similar to that map, and I'll probably have a map prepared by the GIS folks at the county. So I would include those circles, and then I probably draw a corridor around the Highway 97, maybe some other collector or arterial roads, and maybe even put a larger radius, you know, like Rick was talking about, 2,500 feet or whatever. I mean, so, I'll be able to do that.
Good.
There was one other thing that I saw in the minutes, and I was a little confused, on the marijuana dispensaries. There was a comment made about no bars on the windows. Do you know what that was about?
That came from the Ashland.
Do you know why? I mean, I would think it'd be just the opposite.
Yeah, because the liquor store has bars on it.
Yeah. Maybe they say they want the bars on the inside so it doesn't look
light.
Right. I don't think that's
the aesthetics of it. Yeah, I could see, you know, but I would think they would. That's something that you would definitely want to make sure it's secure and protected.
Yeah.
You know.
I think that came out of one of the two proposed. Ordinances by the two other cities. That came on there.
And it was just aesthetics.
It was just aesthetics, okay. Yeah, because that's, I think definitely they should be secure somehow or another, you know.
Yeah, definitely. So, well, you would think they're going to want that.
Yeah, I would say. It's a pretty good cash crop.
Yeah.
So. Well, Bill, maybe you can work on that. Work with GIS at the county to start drawing up some circles.
We'll know a lot better, like you say, after November, the vote. So.
And then maybe you can talk about some stuff in November, and then December come back with, you know, maybe in November you start talking about if you want it to be closed on Sundays.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, again, that's symbolic.
The store's closed on Sunday here, isn't it?
They're not required to anymore. But.
You know, they can be open. Some
they can
are,
be, but ours isn't.
Nope. Ours isn't, no.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that sounds good to me. I think if we start on this thing in November, it really shouldn't take, as far as I can see, too much time. We just, you know, the three things that I mentioned are basically the things that I think should be ironed out. And then whatever the rules are to come out of Salem, is we'll have to adapt to them. Whether they have any effect or not, who knows? They're waiting on November 4th just like we are.
You know, the fact that the county banned it, on one hand, makes more pressure inside the cities, if you think about it. See, Jefferson County didn't ban it. So, you know, you got a lot of people, Ben's 30 miles away. You know, if the county hadn't banned it, there may be one out on Day Road somewhere out there that would take care of all those folks out there. So you might have thought, great, the county banned it, but you might get to where you say, well, you know what, you're forcing it all into the city. By you banning it, all the county residents have to come in here. So when you think about how many you're going to need, it has nothing to do with the city population. It's that there is none between here and Bend. See, and I asked the county, I got an email that they were going to tax it, and he said no, they're not, because they don't want it. That was the email I got back from the county administrator. However, they aren't going to be able to ban it, I guess, when the moratorium ends, so I'm not sure how that'll all play out. So they may have to switch from where they are to understand. Now, one thing, just so you know, you of course are at the meetings, some of you, but we are going to, we have an ordinance, I just sent it out today, some of you got it. We're going to tax marijuana Should it become legal recreational at 10%, the council wanted, and our good counselor over here and these people all wanted 12% on recreational, 5% on medical.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah. And
say that again?
5% on medical marijuana, 12% on recreational, if it should become legal. And by law, we have to have that, we'll be voting on it next week, we have to have it approved before the vote, because the bill does not allow any taxation by local jurisdictions after the enactment of the law. So cities are rushing to do that. Bend has chosen so far not to. Redmond is, and Madras did last night. And so you're going to see Portland's talking about it. But they only got 3 weeks here to kind of get that organized. But our ordinance is pretty good, I think. Jeremy's done a good job with that. So we'll see where that all goes. But medical, we will get a 5% tax.
Nice. The city council's on board for that tax?
Yes. Yeah. And I think people are pretty well. And that will give us some enforcement dollars and things to, that you can work on.
Now, that's going to have to be voted on by the council this month?
Yeah, it's an ordinance next
prior
week.
To
your
November
your lovely wife will be voting on that.
Not, okay.
It's a non-emergency ordinance, Doug. So it has to wait 30 days. It's not emergency. But there was a grace period from when it would pass. So that's the we have to have it in pretty much by the end of November.
The that's ballot why, measure, I think that whenever it was, somehow it's like after the end of November, so that it gets voted on, but it doesn't take effect. And I think the wording is, you know, when it becomes after the effective date, no jurisdiction can tax.
Yeah.
So interesting times on all of that, and we're all learning as we go.
Well, amen to that. Anything else from you, Bill?
Not on that.
All right. I guess this is Mr. Allen, number 9.
Well, no, it's really, it's. I think this was a chance, this kind of where, you know, we haven't met in a few months, and you know, Lori had kind of run out her philosophy on growth, which was, or rules, which, you know, but that doesn't mean that everyone shares that, so, you know. And so I think for him, part of it is just, you know, and then talk about some training and other things. You're thinking, you know, this is more of your round table. That's why we're sitting like this. You know, you know, he's new. He doesn't know you. You don't know him. You haven't met for a few months. So, you know, that's
what,
kind of...
What I thought I would do is just initiate a discussion about Planning Commission training opportunities and whether you've had training in the recent past, whether you're interested in training or whether you're not interested in training. I know I have put together some training workshops for my other planning commissions, Klamath County, Jefferson County, City of Sisters, and generally what we go over is conflict of interest, ex-party contact, those kind of things that rear their ugly head sometimes when you're holding land use public hearings. And there's a right way to do it. There's a wrong way to do it. And as a commission, as a chairman, you need to know that. So fair and impartial, tribunal, all those things. So there's laws, there's court cases, there's examples that I'd like to go over with you. You know, you might know somebody in the community that is submitting an application and he's appearing before the Planning Commission. What do you do? Do you have to be concerned just because you know this person? Well, you're going to know because you've lived here long enough. You're probably going to know a lot of people in this town. Just because you know them doesn't mean you have to recuse yourself. There are certain situations where you at least have to divulge your relationship with this person, if it's monetary especially. And then you have to recuse yourself or go through a process of deciding whether you can be objective. And, you know, the other side can challenge you as a commissioner to sit as a fair and impartial tribunal. So anyway, those are kind of questions. Those are kind of some training opportunities. There's also you know, just generally planning, land use planning 101, or, you know, now that we've got our plan in place, what do we do to tweak it? What do we do to make it better? Are we just satisfied with it right now? So I just want to throw that out there for you folks in case you're interested. I don't have a lot of time, but I think it's important for, if you haven't had that kind of training, to have at least a little bit of it. And we could spend a couple hours, you know, like on a regular night, like a Wednesday night.
Maybe when you don't have any topic.
When we don't have a hearing or a special topic, we can spend an hour and a half, 2 hours, and cover a lot of ground. Go over the material, get your questions answered, and you'll be hopefully in better position to run the next hearing or to, you know, make a decision. So I just throw that out there for you.
I'm interested.
Yeah, I was wondering, I know John and I contributed some materials from some workshops that we went to. Is there is a library set up, right, for the planning commissioners for a reference? You might want to ask.
I'm in the hot seat.
She's a librarian. I've looked
for that stuff, and I've never found it.
You never found it? Because I know it could be.
I think if you found somebody who knew what they were looking for, you'd have a lot better luck. Because I don't know what it looks like. I don't know. If I knew what you gave them, if I had seen it before, I could have a better job looking for it. But upstairs, it's got a lot of stuff in it.
There's probably some training things we can get and do on PowerPoint and things, you know, different stuff. And
well, I just think, you know, because we do have a transition with new ones, you know, coming and going, if we, you know, set up some sort of a library to where people could reference some of those things that you're talking about. Mm-hmm. A handbook or something, you know, that would people could go to learn a little bit.
It seems to me that I attended a planning commission meeting where Deborah was given a budget to go out and buy some stuff.
Yep.
And I'm talking about 4 or 5 years ago.
Yep.
And that stuff was supposed to be set available to anybody on the planning commission. They could go get it, check it out, look at it, read it, whatever they wanted to do. So where it went, I don't know, but I know that there was a budget given to.
Yep, there was.
Oh, that was in her first term.
Yeah.
And she did say she was setting up a library.
Yeah, that's right.
But that was the absolute last we ever heard about.
She did.
Never heard about it since then.
Set up a library. There is a library somewhere. Yeah, I don't know what I'm looking for.
Have you asked Patty?
I have asked Patty.
It's probably in the cubicle somewhere.
It is. It's probably there in a cubicle. If I knew what I was looking for, it'd be a lot easier for me to find it.
Do we still have the storage unit over here?
No.
It might be there.
No, we don't have a storage unit.
That's gone now?
Yeah.
Maybe I could come in and help you look for some.
Anytime you want to, we can go upstairs and I think since you know what you're looking for, it'll probably take you no time at all to find it.
Okay.
Because I know where a lot of things are that aren't it.
Well, I just know there was supposed to be something and that would be helpful. You know?
But I think the education we do need, if anything, is more what Bill's saying.
Yeah, definitely.
He's been around it.
Right,
and
right.
These are the 10 things, you know, mm-hmm. that we might watch for.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The very common things that come up all the time.
Yeah.
I think it'd be very helpful. And
your idea of having you call it informal training at a meeting like this one here, I think is a really good idea.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of the training material that I've received, and we all were supposed to receive it through the mail, is all geared for cities of 450,000 people that have very little reference to little old Lapine.
Yeah.
We don't need to know about all this giant stuff. We need to know about population 1,600 right here in town. That's what we need to know about.
Right.
The rest of that stuff we don't.
Just the basics,
time.
Right? Yeah. Okay.
Just the basics.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we don't want to get into metros, you know, very complicated metric about, you know, how their UGB is or is not working and so on and so forth. So, yeah, we can make it fairly simple and yet cover all the bases. And in one evening, we can do that.
Okay, good. We should set a one meeting date to do just that.
Okay.
Of course.
Give me a month or two. I think I don't know, November. Probably. What's today? This is October.
Probably,
Probably, I'm probably looking at January for some.
Well, let's get this medical marijuana, real marijuana stuff.
Right.
Down first.
Yeah.
And then we can go
and
to
then
that.
He's got, you know, he just today got this. So, you know, it you know, and the questions come up. We had this person in here and he's saying, well, you know, you don't just, so we got to let him kind of get to where you feel comfortable, you know, where's Huntington Road? You know, you just kind of get to where, yeah, you know some of that, and then it'll help.
Well, we all have that. We have this much, and nobody sits down in front of the TV and reads it. Hmm. You did, because you were one of the people that did it.
Right.
But the rest of us,
wrote it.
No. Anything else for you, Bill?
Not on that one, nope. Actually, nothing more for me.
What I would just say,
you, Rick?
Well, yeah, I think probably one of the things we're going to have to do is, we do have some kind of a, and again, this will probably be in the spring, we may have to do some zone changes and do a couple things. We have two or three, some that are, so there's a person or two that want to change it. We were talking about, although I don't think we need to worry about the rodeo grounds anymore, but, you know, we were going to take that into the urban growth boundary, but that's pretty much on permanent hold, call it that. I would say hold would mean it's on a 3-month hold or 6-month. I think it's a longer than that, so I will call it a permanent hold at this point. So there'll be nothing happening out on the rodeo grounds. But our current rodeo, where they are, technically is in the residential land. Mm. And they are buying that property. So, to a degree, for all the years they've been over there, but they were renting, but they're holding rodeo in a residential zone. But if they're going to buy it, and that land is solely going to be for rodeos, and that's, I mean, it's just, it's not going to be houses, we probably, that's an area then we need to become compliant. Basically, they're out of compliance. And a rodeo isn't a conditional use, probably, in a residential zone. So they have talked to me, probably, and they said, so that's something, Bill, that, you know, but we had then over by the school, the land that Gordy bought, that's between Huntington and the school, that there's a block there, kind of. Mm-hmm. And they would like to rezone that to where they could do residential and commercial, kind of a mixed use, I believe. And right now, it's green. It's like parkland or something, I believe. Or public.
Public facilities.
Yeah, public facilities. Well, it's private land. I mean, they're limited to public facilities. I think that was a miszone. And so, and you're going to find that some, when we'll get to other, you know, when you do the code, until you've ever used it, then you start to see the things that you need to. So Deborah had thought there's probably 3 or 4 things that we might need to change. And it's, and so rather than to do, and you have to send a notice to everyone in town. I mean, it's an expensive big deal. So we thought, as they start coming in, let Bill start kind of keeping track of them. Then we would do one that's in good for a couple years, you know, on that zone change stuff, because that's more complicated a little bit.
Yeah, just do one a year, one every other year.
Unless a person wants to pay. Yeah. I mean, a private person, but it's thousands of dollars.
Those require hearings and things if they do a zone change. Oh, that's what I thought.
LCDC has to approve it, review it. And
well, they have to acknowledge it, but it's really up to the city planning commission and the council.
So that's kind of a bigger thing, and I just keep telling anyone that asks me, you know, A, you can go do it on your own, but B, you know, something down the road. If Deborah was still here, we might have started into it, because she kept asking me about it. But now when we're transitioning, we kind of got to, you know, get going. And I think the same's going to happen with, you know, Bill will start to see some things probably in the code, that the codes that he'll think, you know, because it's like everyone looks at things a little different. Yeah. And so, you know, we'll find where something that hasn't worked, or, you know, so I'd be looking down the road for some of those things, because everyone, you know, Deborah had her style, and we don't change them just for style, but you will find things that maybe, you know, might not work the way you want it. You know, on the code side, Deschutes County, we signed an IGA, so Deschutes County will be doing code enforcement when we kick it out to them. I've been doing the code enforcement. Bill will do some when he has time. We'll kind of do the entry level, kind of, you know, reduce the cost. We'll take them, look at them, and then kick some to Bill, and then kick some to the county on the ones that are appear to be more complicated or we're not getting anywhere. And but we can only do with the county, we only can have one or two pending because of the cost. They charge by the hour. We can't go out and dump 10 of them on them just because we have them. So, you know, so what I'm doing is kind of, I just gave them one over on Railroad, they're going to work on that one. So that's our first one with them. And we'll see how they go. They were going to go out and drive by and take photos probably this week. And
what's going on Railroad?
It's just a property that has lots of stuff. I'm kind of working, I've got so many Railroad issues that I might just work hard on Railroad. I was thinking, you know, you almost take a block, you just take a street because you've been out there really lately. But, you know, and then you kind of focus in on that or else you almost, you're zipping all over the place and you never make a difference. You know, in case of Railroad, you know, I've had three or four calls on different ones and then ironically, the person who called about the one across the street, which it has a problem, while I was there, then I looked at their place and noticed that they've got five goats on property, they can have two. And so, you know, this is where one leads to another. And then the property next door to them, you know, the guy came out and cleaned it up, but the lady that owns a duplex next door wants to sell it. She says their place is a disaster. And you know, that road just needs it. And so I was thinking, well, the county works on the one. Bill and I can work on a couple, three others, and we can kind of say we've kind of cleaned up Railroad.
It's a good one to pick.
Yeah, and then you could move over to Schedule, you know, and work your way through the subdivision. Because one of the things everyone does, when I went out with the one, what's he say when you're talking to him about his garbage? What's he point at?
The neighbor.
Somebody else?
The neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you know, and so I thought maybe, you know, we'll continue on it. But code complaints come in, you know, pretty, you know, usually every week.
At least.
Yeah, I mean.
Really?
Wow.
We get a lot of them.
Yeah, and, you know, we're, you know, making successes on them, you know, one at a time, kind of here and there. You know, we usually have two or three that we're working, and it just is a, you know, process.
One of the places that I hear a lot of complaints about from other people is Huntington and Burgess, that corner there, and all the garbage parked along the road and all that stuff.
The equipment dealer there.
Oh, are you talking about Mike Shields?
I'm not sure whose property it is. All I know is there's a bunch of cars there all the time, and they keep changing and they certainly don't do anything to.
Oh, right next to Crescent Creek
City.
Church?
Yeah.
No, down at the corner. Yeah.
No, it's
down
right next
by
to
the corner.
Yes, yeah, right
next to. No, it's almost at the corner, Burgess and Huntington.
That Crescent Creek Church is right there, too.
Yep.
The
yeah.
Blue Church.
Yeah.
I know who you're talking about, yeah.
Well, that one, you know, is more complicated.
Oh, yeah.
And I have talked to him once. That is going to require more of kind of a long-term plan to figure out how you transition it, you know, you and allow it to move to some other areas. And in this case, the particular party, that group there, they have some land in the industrial park. And so what I've thought about is trying to work and I'm talking in that case, you could talk about a decade transition, and, you know, because to a degree it's a, some people would call it a junkyard. These are not my words, these are just what people may call it, a junkyard. Some would call it a wrecking yard. Some would call
storage.
It a storage yard. It could be, it's a heavy equipment operator, and it's been in business for decades.
Yeah.
So you don't just go in and say, well, you've got 90 days or 6 months to move out, and it's a lot of acres, it's not just a lot. And it's an operating business today, so it's complicated. And
he plows my road.
Yeah, we don't get personal about any of these things. So that's one that what my goal is to sit down with him. I've talked to Jeremy about it a little bit. Is we'd sit down with him and start kind of figuring out what we got, and then figuring out kind of a strategy to. you know, begin the mitigation and make sure it doesn't grow. I mean, that's one thing is you want to stop them from growing and then go from there. That's not going to be an easy one.
Well, if it was just moved back 10 or 20 feet, it would help. I mean, it wouldn't be quite as...
There's no room back there. That whole area is full. There's no room to move anything. You know, he's been there forever.
100 years.
Yeah. It's been approved by the county since forever.
Yeah, and so, yeah, we've been 100 years with no rules.
Maybe you ought to suggest to Mike that he could build a fence. An 8-foot high cedar fence.
Like a neighbor.
And that would solve the whole problem. Nobody can see what's going on.
That's right. You're absolutely right.
And we have somebody here that can help negotiate.
No, we're working on it, and I think that all those things are, you know, when you do a kind of a, when you're doing something like this, to try to get things into compliance, fences are possible, shrubbery are possible, and then plus a plan to slowly move, but I do think you have to give them plenty of time. This is not going to be a quick one, you know, and so.
I didn't think it'd be moved tomorrow.
Yeah. The real complaints are more of it's the neighbor, next to neighbor type stuff where there's just all kinds of
mattresses, you know, in the front
junk
yard and that kind of stuff.
Yeah. I'm working hard. I've got two or three of too many animals over there in Kegel. Most of our code complaints probably are in the Kegel area because you have larger lots. Mm-hmm. Once you got an acre to put stuff, you sure put stuff. Mm-hmm. If you only got 5,000 feet, you just don't have stuff.
That's right.
And so and just because of the nature of that area. You know, probably because the lady said she called you over about the little barn, her storage shed in the front yard of the Habitat Street. We went ahead and we've allowed that to stay. It was kind of a little bit of a gray area, but you know, one thing that Habitat needs to make sure that they do, and any of you that are involved in it or follow them, it's a little bit like I always say, Huntington Meadows was built to fail. The Habitat houses, one of the things they have to realize, I know that they're trying to do them cheap, or they're trying to do it, you know, to save everyone money and to make it work. People have stuff. And the Habitat houses are not being built for people with stuff.
We have one there that has too much stuff.
Right, yeah. Now. So they mean you're building carports only. What do most people put, where do they put their stuff?
Garage,
in their garages.
Yeah.
When you don't have a garage,
outside, right,
and you have not built in a considerable amount of storage into a house with no garage, you have basically built a house that the stuff will be outside. Mm-hmm. It's naive to build a house thinking, well, they're not going to have any. No, they will. And then the battles begin. And so, any of those carports need to have built-in storage with those carports.
You see the new ones that are built now? Oh. They have garages.
Okay.
Yeah,
so,
the city of Klamath Falls required garages for that very reason.
Madras requires garages with a mobile home. If you can put a mobile home, like a double wide, you must have a garage.
Right.
Because of that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we worked with that. And so what she did is she went and she did her 199 square foot shed to standard 200 feet. Built, of course, not on a foundation, of which it wouldn't. But she basically put it in front of her front window.
Mm-hmm. I know exactly what you're talking about.
No, I'm telling them.
Oh.
See, you have to separate that you're involved in that. So the house is a Habitat house, and it was built long and skinny. So the house goes this way, the carport next to it, and on each side you got about 5 feet. So you got the window in the front, and it's on the cul-de-sac, so you're at an angle. So she sticks a 200-foot shed 5 feet from her front window. Mm. Well, the lots are so small, she couldn't put the shed in the back. Mm. There is no garage, and she's more than 20 feet back. Mm-hmm. So when you go to our code, it says you have to build 20 feet from the property line. Well, she's exactly 20 feet. Mm-hmm. So she's 20 feet back. It's under the building code requirement, mm-hmm. and it became kind of a gray area, and it's 98% complete.
I tried telling them that when I first saw it being built. I said, what is she doing? But
so anyway, we did sign off. We basically said it could stay. because it was, again, just so far down, it would just been difficult to do anything at that point.
Stick a couple trees in front of it and paint a mural.
Actually, we talked about that.
That's a good idea.
Actually, I talked to her about then softening it up with some bushes, and she said she would do that. Yeah. And
good.
You know, those are all the things that we just, as we grow and learn, you know, over in the subdivision today, the one we were talking about tonight, didn't have a, I say didn't have a sidewalk, but the site plan called for it. So, you know, and then what they all argue, the things I'm getting, and I think it's probably true everywhere, it's that well, there's no sidewalk here and there's no sidewalk there, so why do I need a sidewalk? Well, that's if you never want sidewalks, then you just
that's
say,
a good argument. Yeah.
That's a good argument.
Well, and actually, that was what in the original plan, that was one of the big issues. A lot of people didn't want, you know, people were saying, sidewalks. We don't want sidewalks here in La Pine. That makes us look like a city.
Which are a city.
So, but now you guys, like you said, you've got sidewalks, part sidewalks all over the place. So.
Yeah. So we, you know, there's an example of a site plan. You know, it said this is what we're going to do, and we talked today in our site plan meeting, we said you're going to follow it.
Well, you know, this city is fairly new, but if you look at some older cities, like, I'll say, for instance, Milwaukee in the Portland area, it was a kind of built as a suburb of Portland, and it didn't have a lot of sidewalks, didn't have a lot of what I'd call high-quality street standards, streetscapes, and you know, those kind of things. They still exist today without sidewalks. I mean, they're still, as houses or businesses move out and new ones come in, the city's making them put the sidewalks in. But yeah, hit or miss, mm-hmm. One of these days, yeah. They're going to have it all done. But
yeah. It takes decades.
Yeah.
I get a large number of comments from people who live here in the city, from my neighbors, from a lot of the ladies at the senior center, from a lot of the people that live out here in Huntington Meadows, and they all say the same thing. They say the city has spent a lot of money on sidewalks, beautification, you know, the grass in front of Bimark, you did a perfect job on that, City Hall, the street lights, and they're telling me now it's time to spend some money in the residential areas. Now it's time to fix the roads, to get rid of the trash, to upgrade where people live, and that's what they want to see. They're saying city's been here for 8 years, 10 years, and everything has been in the commercial area. And you're not done yet because you got a lot to do on 97.
Right.
But they're saying, I'm paying my taxes. I see absolutely no benefit to me. I live out here and I live up here in Kegel, and they didn't even do my road last year. What happened? And nobody said why. Now they're telling me it's time to start concentrating on the residential neighborhoods. And you know what they throw at me? We're the people who live here, and we're the people who vote. We want our share of the improvement.
That is one thing I think on PR, though, a lot of people don't realize it isn't their taxes that are paying for a lot of the things that are happening here. It's the hard work with ODOT and with, you know, all these different entities that you've been able to bring in to do this. They look at it, they think their tax dollars are building the city hall, but that's not really the case. I mean,
well,
there needs to be some PR about where the money is coming from.
Everyone has a different perception. If you perceive this, then to you, that's the way it is, whether it's right or wrong.
Right.
Doesn't matter.
You know, I'm sure that people would, you know, probably all that, it's basically roads. Because, it, you know, and I had a lady leave a message upstairs, and she threw out the, you know, I want my share of my tax dollars. And everyone does that everywhere. You know, I mean, I could bring them down and sit and have they, we won't maybe agree, but I can explain to them, you know, how it's all done. And you're right. you know, ODOT's going to spend $1 million, $1.5 million at First Street. They're going to spend $1 million in between, and they spent 80 of this 110. So, and the county is spending $200,000 on Huntington right now in the commercial district. You know, so, you know, we have, but if you truly, I mean, I can, any of those people, if there's that many of them, you tell them to call or we bring them down for a meeting, because I think that we need to educate. We can go put a thing in the paper and 90% of the people you're talking, 99% of the people you're talking about are not going to show up. And part of it is just people, to me it's just people. It's what we do.
A good example of that is, remember last April when Vic Russell was here and he was asked to repair the broken sidewalks that his snowplow broke out there on Midway, and he said, I'll get right to it. It's still broken. It's never been fixed.
And we brought it up at the meeting, what, 2 weeks ago, or a few
and,
weeks.
And yet we still contract out to him for lots of money to do the sidewalks in front of the senior center. He did a great job. But he owes those people out there that those things be fixed. Mm-hmm. And when he says, I'm going to get right out there and fix them, well, that, what do you expect?
Well, Ashley will send him a reminder email tomorrow.
Scott just did.
On that, yeah.
Scott no, just told him on Monday.
Yeah. No, it needs to be fixed. But, again,
I know. There's a million things to do.
And there's
only money for 100. Everybody understands that.
That neighborhood, I was over by it just the other day, and today I got an email from Chris Doty from the county, because another resident in that same exact cul-de-sac complained about, you know, and he, you know, one thing about it, give him credit, he said, no, it will not be crack sealed for several years. And at least he laid it out, because they have 800 or 1,000 miles of road, and they have a system, and you may think it's bad, but they have 800 more miles of roads, it's worse.
Sure.
And so, you know, your emergency isn't someone else's.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it's okay to squeak about it, but...
Well, remember, if I don't tell you these things,
yeah,
as a resident that lives here and as a member of this commission and as a member of the Public Works Commission, then I'm not doing my job.
Oh, I agree.
Because you don't know everything. Neither do I, but we can put the two together and know a lot.
But I think that what the job of committees then is, if you disagree, if in other words, I think that then either A, you become educated, and then you give the answer back, or if you think, well, there isn't enough money being spent because, you know, the people in Huntington Meadows think more money needs to be spent there.
Very true.
And they're not getting their share.
That's right.
You just talked about...
And there are a lot of the people that complained to me.
And the people at Cagle don't think they're getting their share.
That's true. They complain to me too.
And Stu Martinez thinks the people on Morrison, the senior center, the senior home down there needs to have sidewalks and a light Prairie House. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you can't do all. You can't do all of those.
You can't.
But I think when it comes to roads, you mean, hopefully you're there is no way the city of LaPine. And I'll look any of them in the eye, because it's not, we couldn't take on these roads if we tried.
No, we can't.
So
we can't.
Hopefully, there isn't.
No,
so
I know that.
It can't be. It's not a choice. If you wanted all the money we could put into roads, we couldn't take on very much of this roads.
That's
that
true.
Little pipe project out there is $250,000, and they're just doing that. And you know, there is no way. So we have $1.90 budget, $1.98 per thousand. Redmond's is 5 and 6, Madras is 4 or 4.50, you know. You go down the list. Mitchell, Oregon is like $6 or $7 a thousand. And they're under 1,000 people, and they're poorer than the people of LaPine. But they tax themselves. Fossil, Oregon is like $5, $6 a thousand. LaPine chose to tax themselves $1.98.
That's and then we hired Rick to squeeze the money.
No.
that's the only way a corporation would pass.
Yeah.
No,
is if they kept it at $2.
Yeah.
And every voter in this town said, if you make the tax rate more than $2, we're not going to incorporate.
Exactly, but.
So that's what the powers to be settled for.
And you buy and build on a gravel road that wasn't maintained at all.
I maintained mine. It was not easy to do.
But it doesn't just switch then at this tax rate. You can't suddenly, I mean, but it is, if that is your job, if you're saying that we're spending it wrong or you want it to go differently, you need to voice it and everything. But otherwise, I think we need people, ambassadors, to also say, you know, well, and I know you guys do, because I don't have, I mean, when it comes to roads, I don't have an answer. Maybe Bill's going to find them. I mean, it's just a pure dollars deal. I mean, it's...
Rick, there's another thing. You know, they're talking about putting water and sewer out on in Cagle Subdivision.
Right.
At the time that is done, are they going to be able to regain the actual right-of-ways of the road out there and get people to move their fence lines back already, when they're encroached?
That's already been done.
Has it all of it?
Well, as much as it can be done, all that land was 15 feet back, was all cleared, all the trees were taken out, all the brush was taken
out. Really the
on Cagle Road itself, right?
Huh?
On Cagle Road itself?
Oh, on the whole Cagle
subdivision.
Mike Shields did that job two years ago.
Yeah.
That was all taken out.
I think that your point of even discussing the point about that is we're certainly not going to go build up a road that's going to become a sewer. You're going to put sewer water lines in. I'm thinking that it's possible you could take Cagle Road and fix it up. Maybe if we set aside, I put $25,000 in this budget for Cagle Road, and so say the sewer's 4 years out, you got $100,000 or something in there. You could then go add that to the job because they're going to tear it up when they do it, and then you could maybe get Cagle Road out to a proper width, base properly with culverts or things if you need crossings. And then that starts, you know, you have gave a better road option for people. But as far as all those roads, you know, I mean, I don't have any answer to that. I had a call yesterday, someone mad, you know. So
everybody that lives there knew they were living on a gravel road when they bought their house.
Yep. That's right.
There's not one person that woke up one morning and said, gee, I'm on a gravel road.
That's right.
Sure. But they have become accustomed to having the roads done in the fall and the spring and the snow. And
we did it three times this year. We actually added a time.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that?
The Pine Drive was never done this fall.
Well, this fall?
No.
No, they're starting next week, I think.
Yeah.
I don't think it was done this last spring either.
It was done twice this year.
Was it?
Already.
I mean, I wasn't out in front of your house, but maybe they just skipped you, but...
That's Doug. Take the blade up.
Oh, what a surprise.
Hey, that's your best
one. No, we threw in an extra one in June or somewhere.
That's where Doug
I think it was. I think we did April, June, and now.
Yeah, you guys were there.
Because, I mean, I was out and saw it. So, again, I'm not saying it's some half a street somewhere. I mean, I don't, you know. But they did. We actually did a third time, and it costs... $5,000-$6,000.
I think it's about $7,000 each time.
So that's $20,000. We spend $10,000 snow plowing those roads out there. That's $30,000. We take in $70,000 from the highway department. So Cagle Subdivision gets anyone out there that says they're not getting their share. What about all the other people? Don Greiner gets very little compared to Cagle. And yet I hear very little out of their subdivision. See, it's you know, Huntington Meadows, we spent $15,000 on street lights. We're now have to pay the monthly bill on those. You know, so we spend an inordinate amount of time on those places, all the rest of the subdivisions. But then we went out and put street lights in front of Crescent Creek, which he likes. Yeah, so I mean, to be honest, I think we're doing a good job.
Mm-hmm.
We went out and we put code enforcement at Wickia, and there's the business association. You know, we've met, we had ODOT down, they meet again in a couple weeks, so we're trying to work on Wickia. You know, and so I think you do kind of, we did the water thing for Glenwood Acres.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we've let them hook onto our water system. We spent some money there. You know, they don't have road issues, and they don't have code issues. I've never had a code complaint in Glenwood Acres, never. But another subdivision has codes, another one has crime, another one has this. I think that through all the committees and the staff that we're balancing it around the best you can. But that doesn't mean on every year everyone gets it equal. Mm-hmm.
Did you go down and count the chickens on the mayor's property? Make sure he has within the required limits.
You'd have to have a lot of chickens not to.
We did.
He's not been over chicken for a long time.
Yeah.
I think there's. You can have 12 chickens per right. half acre.
He's supposed to have 12, and he has. That, never mind.
Well, my closing comment on this.
But if you had a cow.
Depends on how many fox. How many fox can you have? Coyotes.
The funner one, which is not fun because people, we have candidates in the room, but you did get my email. But just an example of our code, which is normal inside any city, lawn signs, by law, inside the city and any other city, you don't just go around putting them on public property and right-of-ways. In other words,
utility pole.
Or yeah, if you can put a lawn sign. That means you go ask the guy and you stick it in their yard. Mm-hmm. Well, what we have going on everywhere is the lawn signs, 90% of the lawn signs are going up. They don't want to talk to anyone. They're just throwing them all over the place, and they're all on public property by and large. And you notice some under the stop signs if you come up to the stop signs. And today we sent an email out to all the candidates and told them that their signs need to be off of public property because it's important those making the laws follow the laws.
Well, we did that last week.
Yeah. So then today, I'm not sure how many moved them. I'll go around and count them all, but I'm not saying some weren't moved, but some have since been moved.
I never got an email.
No, you didn't. You don't have a sign out.
Oh.
And so we picked up several signs, and our public works guys were. And what I'm trying to do is, again, this is educational, so we're not, if it's kind of by a house or kind of it's out there in front, you know, that's fine. But this idea of taking, just going down Huntington Road and putting them along there and then sitting them underneath stop signs and over in the Kegel subdivision, every road, First Street had them coming from both directions right there to the highway. They tended to be yellow and black signs.
I display my sign on public property all the time.
That's nice.
It's on my car, so when I drive, it's there.
I did wonder on businesses, though. Sometimes they'll be, like on a business, they'll be tied to something that belongs to the, how do I put that?
What?
There was one over by Weimar, kept falling down, and then I thought, you know, it's really on the person's business property. That's okay, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It just can't be on the road right-of-ways. Okay. I mean, no, you can, and you know, again, you go down, you got the grass strip. If we went, if this was a business and we were sticking, if we go put a sign up for our candidate out here in the grass, we're not.
That's what I want.
We're not going to bother that. What these signs right. are going up is just really lily-nilly up and down the road. I mean, some of them, of course, the county owns all the land from Crescent Creek, basically down toward Burgess, where the new neighborhood is. And there's lawn signs along there. Well, so you've got county roads and you've got county-owned property. I mean, there's no neighbor there. It's all publicly owned and nobody asked anyone. And then down, there were some bigger ones. They just went up, the big ones, right kind of on Huntington. And that was after my email went out.
It probably hadn't read the email.
So, anyway. Well, and but that's an example of our code says, because it's really the same as real estate signs. Yeah. Real estate signs go on private property. You can't, you know, how realtors like to do their little arrows, which, again, we're not going to run around taking down a bunch of arrows, but it's just part of the process. Yeah. Deschutes County allows signs in the right-of-way. In the county outside the cities, no cities allow it. Deschutes and Jefferson County, Kirk County do not allow it. That's an odd,
very odd.
And so that's why all these signs you see for the county commission race that you see out there, that in the county, that's legal. Now inside the city on county right of way, it's not because the jurisdiction is inside the city. The fact it's a county road, that their codes don't have any issue. So, you know, and we're just trying to kind of make, we want to start educating people. In the next election, I think what we'll do is send a, when people run, right at the beginning when they file, we'll copy that and get that out to their campaigns.
Now, this is the first election, actually, after the ordinance was put in, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, I think so. I know one candidate who has complied with your email 100%.
I thought so, because today when I was looking around for the culprit, I didn't see any. And I wasn't, it was when I was out doing my things, and I had someone ask about that, and I actually did not see any in that particular candidate. Mm. We have two violators. They're having dinner tonight together.
They must not be here.
And one doesn't have an opponent.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Duh. Are you all done?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Come on.
Planning Commissioner's comments. John, you have anything to say?
I think I have too.
I'm good. I'm more than good.
I'm good for tonight. Thank you.
Okay, good. I'll take a motion to adjourn, please.
So move.
Second.
All right. All in favor, say aye, please.
Aye.